This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Earlier this month, WUWM took a comprehensive look at the state of segregation in the Milwaukee area. We looked at how segregation impacts our environment, our schools, our health care, and more generally, our community.
A new study out today from the Chicago-based Metropolitan Planning Council and the Urban Institute has quantified how segregation may affect a region's economy. The report, called The Cost of Segregation, looks at the impact of segregation on the Chicago area compared to the 100 largest U.S. metropolitan areas, including Milwaukee.
While some of the numbers are specific to Chicago, much of the data is simply comparing how hypersegregated regions can benefit by decreasing segregation even to median levels.
Alden Lowry is the director of research and evaluation at the Metropolitan Planning Council. He spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers about the report and how his organization was able to quantify the effects of segregation.
They looked at specifically the 100 largest metros across the nation and looked at them using data from 1990, 2000, and 2010. They were interested in looking at point in time, but then to determine changes over time. And then they, in the quality of life indicators, they essentially looked at income in two different ways, median household income, per capita income. But they also wanted to look at health, safety, and education. And the factors to determine those, they settled upon as homicides with regard to safety, bachelor's degree attainment with regard to education, and life expectancy with regard to health. So they got information for each of these 100 metros, measured their segregation, and then gathered data on those quality of life indicators for each of those metros and performed a regression analysis, essentially to determine what's the relationship between segregation, each of those measures of segregation, and these quality of life indicators. And they controlled for a number of things, including population size, income inequality within each of those metro areas, the number of manufacturing jobs, and a few other things that might have been closely associated with segregation that might explain some of the differences in segregation. So they wanted to kind of control for those factors to really zero in on how is segregation impacting these indicators, these quality of life indicators. And so that was essentially the way they wanted to determine the cost. And, you know, we then looked at those results. And what we decided to do is to kind of take, in the case of Chicago, let's figure out where we are on these measures of segregation. And then the Urban Institute was determining, well, if Chicago were at the median level, because we are well above the median level in terms of our measurements of segregation, but if we were at the median, given what those indicators look like for metros that are at the median or near the median, what could we expect our levels on those indicators, what we could expect them to look like? And the difference is what we kind of determined to be the cost of segregation. And so that's when we talk about the cost of segregation, essentially we're talking about the difference between what we see now with our level of segregation and what we could expect to see if we were less segregated to the degree that we were essentially in the middle of the pack among the 100 largest metros in the nation.
So Chicago, like Milwaukee, is hyper-segregated. And from your analysis, you found that reducing segregation could mean incomes of African Americans in Chicago would rise an average of nearly $3,000, and the region would earn an additional $4.4 billion in income. How does reducing segregation produce those results?
You know, how is a very interesting question. I mean, the analysis was more designed to determine what as opposed to why. And so the why we are kind of left to speculate on a little bit more. The analysis doesn't give us necessarily a very clear answer to your question of how or why, but it does determine what. So based on the analysis, based on the relationship that the Urban Institute found between, and in this case, we're talking about the level of black-white segregation and the per capita incomes of African Americans, there was a statistically significant relationship. So generally speaking, regions that have more black-white or higher levels of black-white segregation generally see lower incomes for African Americans, and conversely, regions that have a lower levels of black-white segregation, generally speaking, African Americans are earning more per capita, or their income is higher per capita in those regions. And so in the Chicago region, we just to use rankings as a measurement, there is an actual number on an indicator called the Spatial Proximity Index, which is how they measured black-white segregation. But for simplicity's sake, the Chicago region ranked 10th in the nation among these 100 largest metros for its level of black-white segregation. If we were at the median, which is essentially between 50 and 51 in that ranking, we would expect to see higher levels of black income, because that's generally what regions that are at the median, their level of black income is higher, by and large, to the tune of about $3,000 per capita, which equates to an aggregate $4.4 billion for the Chicago region. So that's how they got the what and the why. Like I said, we'd be left to speculate to some degree. And there could be a number of reasons that explain that. Just looking at other data, what you find is that there are lower levels of employment in black areas in the Chicago region, and that employment is typically in lower paying positions. Generally speaking, you will find that the experience of geographically large areas that are heavily populated with African Americans, there are just different realities that could result from that. There are perceptions about those spaces in terms of their economics, in terms of their levels of education, in terms of the level of safety in those neighborhoods. But also within those spaces will be very different kinds of communities that are still predominantly African American, but they are also earning very well. They're achieving an education very well. There are high levels of employment, higher levels of economic stability. There's more economic buying power. But because those areas appear to be so clustered together and so close in proximity to areas where there are economic struggles, I think they are impacted by that as well. And so that would be my response to the question of how or why.
And another measurement that you used, the homicide rate, and this is something that we also face here in Milwaukee as well. The study found it would drop by 30%. It's my understanding that that's really just if Chicago reduced segregation to the median level of segregation, it would drop by 30%. Is that something we could also say of Milwaukee?
Yes, that finding, and also the finding with regard to the level of black-white segregation and its impact on black income, those are findings that apply across all of the metros. The relationship is based upon data from the 100 largest metros. I think within any of those 100 largest metros, these the three kind of statistically significant findings that we're reporting on, those things hold true for all of those. So it holds true for Chicago, it holds true for Milwaukee, it holds true for New York, Nashville, so on and so forth. It's just that the degree to which that benefit may be depends on where that region's level of segregation is. And so for Chicago, there was a dramatic level, if you will, in terms of homicides, in terms of black-white income, in terms of level of bachelor's degrees attained, because the Chicago's drop to the median in those measures is a pretty big drop. And in fact, it would actually be a bigger drop for the Milwaukee region, because the Milwaukee region is actually higher on the rankings of both black-white segregation and Latino-white segregation than is Chicago. It's lower than Chicago in terms of economic segregation. So, you know, my guess is that the benefits that we're referring to with regard to black income and with regard to homicides, that Milwaukee would see similar, if not even more dramatic impact if it were to drop to the median level of segregation. Speaking specifically to homicides, yes, generally speaking, regions that are at the median or near the median, their homicide rates are typically lower than the homicide rates of regions that are higher on the scale in terms of black-white segregation. Urban, in their analysis, is determining that Chicago would see a 30% reduction in its homicide rate. And that's, we thought, an incredibly compelling finding, especially given the narrative around homicides and safety in the Chicago region. And there are just many ripple effects from that. A 30% reduction in homicides, in addition to perhaps the benefit that is most important, is the fact that, you know, there would be fewer lives lost. But the stigma that comes with higher levels of violence and, as you know, as articulated in homicides, is dramatic in terms of property values, in terms of other economic factors, but also in terms of just kind of the quality of life and the day-to-day living. If people feel more safe. They're more likely to engage and to move about and so on and so forth. And so the impact of reducing homicides is very sweeping, and the fact that segregation has a very strong relationship with homicide is another reason for us to take stock in these findings and to say, you know, there are benefits to desegregation, dealing with our segregation in each region, even if the feeling in parts of that region is that, you know, these things don't affect me. The homicide finding is affecting all of us. You know, that's not specific to one particular group. The relationship accounts for homicides across an entire region.
Well, and as part of that kind of ripple effect, the report actually looked into the cost of homicide. How do you quantify that?
There we leaned on supplemental research. So Urban's findings essentially tell us what the impact segregation is having on the actual levels of homicides. And then we leaned on a couple of other studies that measured what the cost of additional homicides are. A report from the Center for American Progress, which provided numbers specific for Chicago and I believe seven other metro areas across the country. This is what you'd see with a 10% reduction in homicides in that region. This is what you'd see with a 25% reduction in homicides in that region. And so based on that, we determined essentially the Chicago region with a 30% reduction in homicides would see a savings of $65 million in terms of policing costs, a savings of $218 million with regard to corrections costs, and then a boost in residential real estate values of $6 billion. And that finding is essentially based upon the Center for American Progress's research, which found that additional homicides on a zip code level, for each additional homicide, it essentially cost that zip code a 1.5% reduction in its residential property values. And that speaks to the notion that, you know, as you see increasing homicides in any particular geographic area, regardless of what level of homicides happen in that area, it makes the area less desirable. And that lower level of desire is articulated through the fact that people are willing to spend less to live in those areas. And so based on that finding, they determined that a 25% reduction in homicides in the Chicago region would result in a $5.5 billion increase in residential property values. And so we just extrapolated that out for a 30% reduction to $6 billion. And so that's the potential ripple effect of reducing homicides in the Chicago region. So that was how. And then, of course, there's, you know, if people were alive, then they would be earning. And so we also report $170 million in lifetime earnings that would be realized if the victims of those homicides were spared.
And there's one metric that you look at that I think is particularly slippery, lost potential. What do you mean by that?
There we're talking about what the Urban Institute found as a statistically significant relationship between a region's level of black-white segregation and the percentage of individuals, both African-American and white, earning bachelor's degrees. So generally speaking, regions that have higher levels of black-white segregation typically have lower percentages of African-Americans and lower percentages of whites within their region attaining bachelor's degrees. Regions that have lower levels of black-white segregation typically have higher percentages of both African-Americans and whites earning bachelor's degrees. If the Chicago region were at the median level of black-white segregation in 2000, by 2010, a decade later, there would have been 83,000 more people, black or white, who would earn bachelor's degrees. And when we asked them for a split, you know, well, how many whites, how many African Americans are we talking about? Urban said, generally speaking, we're talking about roughly 62,000 whites, roughly 21,000 African Americans that would have earned a bachelor's degree in 2010 if the black level of black-white segregation in Chicago in 2000 were at the median.
Looking more broadly, when we're talking about lost potential, when we're talking about people who aren't earning bachelor's degrees, how does that impact a region's workforce and their potential for growth?
The very clearest thing is that if you're earning a bachelor's degree, you are, over the course of your lifetime, going to earn more than you would if you had some level of education less than that. And so we looked at the difference between individuals who earn a bachelor's degree and individuals who earn a high school diploma, and it's roughly about $1 million per person over the course of a lifetime. 83,000 more people in the Chicago region, and generally equates to about $90 billion more in lifetime earnings that would be acquired, presuming those individuals spent their entire time in the Chicago region. So it could be a significant boost in terms of the actual income earned by people in the region, and then consequently in terms of them spending that income in the local economy and so on and so forth. The other ways, though, are that, you know, a region's attractiveness for economic interest, you know, be it companies looking to relocate, startups, you know, trying to find where they're going to establish their hubs, retailers determining, you know, where they're going to open up new stores. One of the very critical things that they look at is the education level of the people in that region. Generally speaking, those are higher earners. They're going to have more disposable income to spend. But if you're also looking for a credible job market, you're going to look at areas with higher levels of college degrees as areas that are going to produce or have available greater talent, more experienced, more educated talent. And so the attractiveness of a region is impacted in a number of ways by the levels of people who have a college degree. And if segregation has an impact on the level of college degrees earned in a region, then I think those, you know, regions across the country should see their levels of segregation as a potential impediment to their attractiveness. And so as these metros are thinking about what the benefits of addressing their segregation based on this research from the Urban Institute, they should be thinking, you know, that it could benefit us in terms of our broader attractiveness from a competitive standpoint with regard to commerce, retail, so on and so forth. We will be a stronger and more competitive region if we attack and address our levels of segregation.
One of the questions that the report asks is, what would it take for Chicago to achieve median levels of segregation? And when we're talking about a city like Milwaukee that is also hyper-segregated, do we know the answer to that? What would it take for a region that is hyper-segregated to achieve these median levels?
I would say we don't know from a very definitive standpoint at this point. You know, when we started on the cost of segregation project, there were two principal questions. One, what's the effect that segregation has on quality of life and the ways in which the Urban Institute measured them? You know, can we determine what it cost us to be segregated? The second question was, what do we do about it? And so in our second phase of this project, which we hope to complete by the end of this year, the early part of next year, is kind of really getting into the weeds with a number of experts and people who are working on the ground in many of these communities to determine what those answers may be. And we're looking at a number of different policy arenas, you know, housing, education, public safety. We're also looking at transportation, economic development, and housing in addition to land use. You know, how in all of these different areas do we see or believe segregation is having an impact, and what can we do or what have we been doing to address them?
All right. Well, thank you so much, Alden, for joining us here on Lake Effect, and we'll check back with you.
Great, Joy. It'd be great to do that. And I'd be very curious to see what the reaction in Milwaukee is to this report and the findings from Urban's study. Milwaukee ranked number one in its level of black-white segregation. And I believe in the measure of Latino-white segregation, the Milwaukee region, I should say, ranked second in terms of Latino-white segregation. So it's up there. And I think could certainly benefit, based on Urban's analysis, could benefit from reducing those levels of segregation to some degree. So I'd be curious about the reaction and what movement there may be taking place up there as well.
For sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Alden Lowry is the Director of Research and Evaluation at the Metropolitan Planning Council, which is based in Chicago. They partnered with the Urban Institute to create their report on the cost of segregation. That report came out today, and you can find a copy of it by going to wuwm.com.